All right, so we get to start our very last siman in Basra B'Chalaf right now, because we already did Siman Sadi Zayin, so now we're doing Siman Sadi Vav here in Basra B'Chalaf. Let me get my notes out over here. And this is about Davar Charif and Duch de Sakina. So we are somewhat familiar with these issues already. Obviously, that's one of the advantages of learning Taravis before you learn Basra B'Chalaf, that you're familiar with a lot of things beforehand. But the sugi starts in Chulin Kufir Aleph from Beis, at the very bottom of the page, right? The Gemara over there says in Chulin Kufir Aleph Amud Beis that snown shechatcha b'sakin shechatcha b'basar asur lachlo b'kutach. But if you have a radish that you cut with a fleishig knife, we'll get to whether it's clean or not. A radish that you cut with a fleishig knife, you're not allowed to eat that radish with milchigs. You're not allowed to eat it with kutach. So if you like to dip your radishes in sour cream, I don't know. I don't think I ever ate a radish. I probably ate a radish at some point, probably like when my grandparents were over, my parents had radish out. But I don't know, I certainly don't think like, wow, I'm in the mood for radishes now. So I don't know how people eat radishes, but apparently they eat it with kutach. I don't know how people could eat kutach either, but so let's say a radish and sour cream. So you're not allowed to take I don't think I ate sour cream either, but you're not allowed to take a radish that was cut with a fleishig knife and dip it in kutach. V'hani milut snon, and says the Gemara, oh, you might be wondering, you know, this goes against all of our klalim. First of all, it goes against not bar nat, teva should be fine. It goes against the fact that sonin b'tzonein is not going to transfer any tam. You need heat in order to transfer tam. So what on earth is going on? And it goes against maybe stam kelim erein b'nei yomo. So if knife is erein b'nei yomo, so it's not going to answer anyway. It's not going to make it flesh anyway. So it seems to go against everything. So the Gemara gives a little bit of explanation, and the Gemara says v'hani militznon dag of churfei bala. He says that's only by tznon, but if you have a sweeter vegetable, then all you have to do is scrape off the surface where it touched the knife, and then you could eat it. You don't have to assume that it's asir. There are a number of things jump out about this Gemara. We just like say tznon is asir. What would you have said if you were writing this Gemara, even knowing what you know now? What taka is the halacha when you cut cold radish with a cold fleishig knife? How much of the radish is actually fleishigs? So, okay, big machlok is rishonim, but if anything less than all of it is actually fleishigs, so probably it shouldn't say asur la'achlo b'kutach. Right, it probably should have said that if you cut a radish with a fleishig knife, do whatever you gotta do in order to remove the problematic part. That's what we always say, right? When you have a basar tzli that has cracks in it, the touch is what? Okay, so you take off a kedei klipa, kedei netila, whatever the kedei is. Or go there, like it said about the kishos, that you just scrape it off. But we don't say that. Just say, oh, sir, you can't eat it with kutach. So, that jumps out at you. Also, the Gemara is not like abundantly clear at what exactly Charifos accomplishes. I mean, we pointed out to three anomalies. Does Charifus address all three? So let's go slowly over here. So if you cut a tznon, fleishig knife, radish can't be eaten with a dairy dip, cannot be eaten with kutach. So says Rashi, aval asakin pa'amim shashamnunis korush alav ve'eno nikr ukeshechotich b'tznon havinosein tam haba min hamamish. Says Rashi, the point over here is that knives often aren't just blios. Knives have actual be'en on their surface. And since there's be'en on the surface of the knife, so that be'en is getting onto the radish. So that's why you're going to have a problem with the radish. That's Rashi Aleph. V'od, to mishum churfe, balat fe, midagam arotchen. V'agav duchazkina, palat sakino, balat snod. Also, because it's a davar charif, it has the ability to be balaya, even flavors, even absorbed flavors. So you're not allowed to eat the radish kutach either because there was meat residue left on the knife, or because the sharpness of the radish, in conjunction with the pressure of the knife, caused that absorbed meat flavor in the knife to reawaken and to enter the radish. So the second explanation of Rashi is really based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Lamates. Right, the Gemara over there says that a sharp vegetable, a chiltis, which what did Gabe say it is? Whatever, it's It's a very sharp vegetable. A chiltis cannot be bought from a guy, even though stam klei amenam b'nei yom. Right? A stam klei akum, we assume, is ena ben yom. So why can't I buy it from the guy? Whatever he cut it with is ena ben yom. Because it becomes asur when he cuts it with a non-kosher knife, because the sharpness of the vegetable in combination with the duchka, the sakina, makes the absorbed flavor in the knife. No sin tam l'shvach. Interestingly, the Ra'ah held that the Gemara over there is talking about a dirty knife, and that the Chiddush is that the Chiltis isn't pogim the Shuman. Okay, but what emerges over here is that up until this point, we've only seen that heat at the level of Yatzel Edespo is able to absorb flavor from a Kli. The Chiddush of the Gemara in Chulin is that even Charifus can remove absorbed flavor from a Kli, and that we don't apply the Heter of Naparnat. Also, even if the tam is more than 24 hours old, it's still considered a tam l'shvach. It's not a tam pogum. That's derived only from the Gemara Avodah Zarah, because in our sugya, so I'm at a Jew cutting with a knife, and stam klei Yisrael are b'nei yomen. So from the Gemara Avodah Zarah, at least, where stam klei marin b'nei yomen, you see that apparently we're able to overcome the fact that it's a tam pogum in the knife, the fact that it's more than 24 hours in the knife. Chiltis is understood to be something that's much more pungent than a radish, right? That's what Gabe told us that last time he learned Yerodea, which I was also surprised. I didn't know that he had learned Yerodea previously, but I'm not surprised. He said he forced all the Rebbeim and Yeshiva to taste the chiltis, so that they could appreciate it. I said, you forced all the Rebbe? So he said, only the younger Rebbe. Only Rabbi Wiederblank, and he was a pretty chash of a Talmud Chacham, he didn't go to Rabbi Schechter and Rabbi Willig, to taste the pungency of it. Chiltus is much more pungent, much more, I shouldn't say pungent, that's probably not the right word for charif, but it's much more, by the way, davar charif, Rav Schechter often likes to point out that the charifus and merirus are different, which is a big discussion over here. When we talk about the definition of charif, right, is a zayis charif, or is a zayis just mar? I can't stand olives. If I find them to be I can't get the taste out of my mouth for a week after it's very, very pungent, So Rav Schechter points that out always in the context of that there might be a difference between Charifus and Merirus in the context of Maror on Pesach, that Professor Yehuda Felix, you know the name? Yeah, everyone's familiar, right? So he's the one that did all the research that showed that horseradish can't possibly be one of the five vegetables that the Mishnah identifies in Pesachim Lamates as Maror. All the vegetables are green, leafy vegetables. They're all bitter vegetables. Horseradish is not green and leafy, nor is it bitter. It is sharp. And charifus and merirus are entirely different, but that is not pashut at all. Meaning, we're going to see when we discuss that a davar mar might also be a davar charif. Meaning, merirus and charifus maybe it might just mean something that when you put it in your mouth you recoil. That could be, or it might mean that we're describing nuances. Right, where Shaftan understands, where Professor Felix apparently understood, is that we're describing nuances of flavor. That not everything that's on the negative side is necessarily in the same category. There's a difference between that which is charif and that which is mar. Lettuce is mar, meaning it's not mar when it's fresh and delicious, but leave it in, leave it out for a few days, wait till it turns a little bit black, and then try to eat lettuce. It's mar. It's very, very bitter when it's left for a little while. Anyway, but that's essentially, there are three chidushim of davar charif that emerge from the two sugyas, from Chulin and from Avodah Zarah. And even though with the recognition that Avodah Zarah is a different level of charifus, and the Rishonim are going to obviously discuss that. But the three chidushim are is that it's all tam rishon, there's no nat parnat, right? That it's tam l'shvach, there's no nosin tam l'fgam, and that it works tzonin b'tzonin, that tam transfers even with cold, without any heat above Yatzaledis to affect the transfer of time. Do you ever have, though, meaning, and in all these cases, it's not only that it's a davar charif, meaning both here and in Maseches Avodah Zarah, it was a davar charif that you cut with a knife. So there are two elements. There's duchah de sakina plus davar charif. Can you ever have one without the other? Meaning, does Dabar Charif accomplish anything without a Ducha de Sakina? Does Ducha de Sakina accomplish anything without a Dabar Charif? So in Pesach and Daf Lamed, the Gemara talks about kashering a kli that's used for sourdough. You know, it used to be you would say sourdough when you're learning Pesach, and no one would have any idea what you're talking about. But one of the gifts of Corona is a lot of people had time on their hands, so everyone started their own sourdoughs. So now we have, you know, chashva sourdoughs in every Jewish home. And I don't know, do you know? You know, my sister-in-law brings us sourdough. You know, like the bread that she makes with sourdough. I don't yet fully appreciate the kunz of it, but supposedly it's amazing for those who are very into it. Anyway, what was I saying? So, yeah, so the Gemara Pesachim Daf Lamed talks about a kli that's used for sourdough and kashering it, and says you need to do agala even though it's cold. The sourdough is just sitting in the kli. So why do you need to do agala? So the aruch is quoted by the Rishonim over there that the sourdough is a davar charif, and as a davar charif, it can give tam. Now over there, meaning that would be similar to maliach karaseach kavash kamavushal. So davar charif, just sitting in the kli, is going to give some sort of tam to the kli according to the aruch. That seems to imply that here you have a davar charif making an impact without duchad de sakina. There's no knife involved. Also, the Mishnah Maestro says that midrabanan, if you're mevashel, it's koveil the meiser. By cooking, that's meaning something only becomes tevel once it becomes kavuel the meiser. So it becomes tevel gamur once you're mevashel. And Rabbi Yehuda says that chometz or tzir becomes mevushel even in a klisheni. So kavush goes quicker for a davar charif than it would for a non-davar charif. But our sugi is not really about that. We're talking about ducha de sakino with the davar charif. So we find at the beginning of Chulin that shchita with the treif and knife, you need to take off a kedei klipa. And the Rav explains because of ducha de sakina that you need to take off a kedei klipa. So our sugi we're talking about where you have the combination. You have a ducha de sakina and a davar charif, and the Gemara says that the tznon is going to be aser. But again, we have these two pshatim in Rashi. What's the mitzius that our Gemara is describing? Is our Gemara describing a knife that had a little bit of be'en on it, or are we describing a knife that's fully clean? So come along the Ritva, the Rashba, the Ra, and a whole group of Rishonim, and they assume that the first pshat in Rashi is correct. That you'd only have a problem if there's actually shamnunis plus davar charif plus tuchka de sakina. That's when you say the radish is problematic. However, that goes to Shri and the Yamshel Shlomo will say, no, second Shan Rashi is correct. It could be totally clean, and still just the Ducha de Sakina and Davar Charif alone is enough. Huge nafkamina between them, obviously. What's the biggest nafkamina? What does a clean knife do? If you cut a radish with a clean knife, you cut an onion with a clean knife. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah over here, well, the Shulchan Aruch quotes two things, right? Shulchan Aruch in Tzadivav. Shulchan Aruch writes, Tznon silka shechatchem besakin shel basar ben yomo o she'eno mekunach asur la'achlem b'chalav ad she'ito memakom achtach k'dei nutilas memakom shukov yatzba. Then he quotes a v'yesh omrim, then he quotes a v'yesh omrim, which we'll get to later, du'a din le'eno ben yomo v'hu mekunach. So he talks about, let's say you have a dirty knife or a ben yomo clean knife, or maybe even in yesh omrim an eino ben yomo clean knife. So we'll get to the ben yomo eino ben yomo thing, but he does seem to be saying that a dafka clean knife, that even a clean knife, and the Rama seems to assume the same, that it's known cut with a clean fleshig knife is going to be aser. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch has a discussion, ben yomo or eino ben yomo. But the Rama is clear that regardless of ben yomo or eino ben yomo, a clean knife is going to be tzasser to eat whatever you cut, whatever davar charif you cut with a fleshig clean knife, you're not going to be allowed to eat with milchigs. And if you mix it with milchigs, the Shulchan Aruch is on say everything's going to be aser, unless you have shishim. That's clearly like the second Pshat and Rashi. That means that charif is even stronger than bishul, because bishul creates a nat bar nat, things go down in power, but a davar charif, they don't go down a level, they remain tamrishon, which we'll get to in a second why that would be, right? It's counterintuitive. Meaning, you're going to tell me all these three chidushim, tell me a great chidush, tam can transfer without heat, can time transfer better without heat than it can with heat? I mean, you can go that far. The time will transfer better with because it's a davar charif when it's cold than it would with actual cooking, with actual heat. So we'll get that in a second. But first, the Rashba raises the question. If the Gemara is talking about a clean knife, how do you read the rest of the Gemara? Right? Because what is the Gemara saying? The Gemara had two things. You cut a radish with a clean knife, so you cut a radish with a fleshing knife, you're not allowed to eat that radish with kutach. And then it said, but if you take a sweeter vegetable and you cut it, then you need to be gorer. Gorer. You need to scrape off the part of the vegetable you cut. Scrape off the part of the vegetable I cut? Why? If there's shamnunas, I get it. But if there's no shamnunas, what am I being gorer? So the Mordechai answers that kishos are a little bit charif. They're not super sweet. They're just not as charif as a radish. Ooh. So essentially what he's telling us is that there are three levels of charifos. There's non-charif, there's a little charif, and there's very charif. So if something is non-charif, it wouldn't even need greira. The Taz seems to assume this way. Now, if you have something that's not a double charif, the chlal, and you take a clean knife and you cut it, nothing happens. No worries. You have something that's mamish a davar charif, like it's known, and you cut it, the whole thing's asin. And if you have something that is quasi charif and you cut it, then you just got to scrape off the edge. You just got to scrape it off a little bit. The Rabbeinu Shimshon held that ducha de sakina can transfer blios a little bit, even without charifos. Meaning, in a chinami, the vegetable that we said they have to be gorer is not a davar charif at all. There's no third category. If it's not a tznon, it's not a davar charif. Why do I have to do anything? There was no shamnunis. Duchka de sakina accomplishes something independent of davar charif. Just the pressure of the knife at least gets a tiny bit of blia to come out of the knife. So a very tiny plata, but it's not going to get into the kedei klipa of that which I'm cutting, but a little bit of blia came out of the knife and remains on the surface of the radish that I cut, so I just scrape off the radish. The Prichadash in Sivkat and Basil here writes that according to the opinion that we're discussing a clean knife, right? Let's assume like daya number two in Rashi. We're talking about a clean knife, right? Which is what the Rashba was just discussing. So you have to say that the charifus of the radish extracts the tam itself, and it's not considered an upper nut, right? Meaning that's what's going on. Meaning if we're talking about a dirty knife, so of course you're not going to talk about an upper nut. You have ben over here. But if we're talking about a clean knife, we're not applying the heter of an upper nut. And that seems to fit very nicely with the Rivan. Why? The Rivan holds that if you actually cook dagim b'kedera, there is no heter of an upper nut. That even Tam Sheni sometimes has a din of Tam Rishon, if it's cooked. So Davar Charif can do what cooking does, and can make it aser, can make it that the Tam is going to be considered a significant Tam, even though it's a secondary Tam. Because just like cooking could do it, a Davar Charif could do that as well. I get that. I mean, says Bri Chadosh, if you're going to say like the Rivan, this Sugya makes sense. I want to set it on my own. It's a Chiddush that a Davar Charif could do what cooking can do. But okay, it makes sense. You're going to tell me that cooking can accomplish that Tam Rishon will remain Tam Rishon. I mean, it's not going to become Tam Sheni. It's not going to become Naparnat. Davar Charif will do the same thing. But, says the Prichadish, according to the Rishonim that disagree with the Rivan, that hold that Dagum Shalu Bekara is Latavka Alu Bekara, that even Dagum Shabishlu Bekara, you have a heter of Naparnat, then you're telling me that if I'm a Vashel, the dog in Bekara, it's not going to be motzi the actual gufa tam, it's only going to be secondary tam. But a davar charif is going to keep everything as first degree tam. Meaning you're telling me that charifus does more than bishul? That charifus has a greater capacity to transfer tam than bishul itself? Than even bishul has to transfer tam? Says because I don't understand why that would be the case. However, it clearly is, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins that way. Right? In the Shulchan Aruch, the two are not talib zebzeb. You can say Bishul is not motzi the guf hatam habalua, and yet charifus, meaning because you do have a heter of naparnat by Bishul, and yet charifus is motzi the guf hatam, meaning you don't have a heter of naparnat by Bishul. Just a second. Where do you see it? Because Shulchan Aruch and Sadi Hei, Sifal Paskins, that we apply naparnat by Dagum Shenisbash Lubakara, and yet, here in Simon Sadi Vavi Paskins, that Hachotech, Tzon, Besakin, Shalbasa, Hafilim, Umakunachetev, Yesham, Sha'asalach, Lom Kutach. So Prima Gadim, Sif Se Da, Sif Katan Beis explains that, yeah, in a chinami, a Davar Charev can accomplish more than Bishul. But here's why. It's not only a Davar Charev. It's the Charifus of the radish coupled with Duchka de Sakina that has the capacity to be Motzi Tam more than even Bishul. But in a chinami, if you just had Davar Charev without Duchka de Sakina, then it wouldn't be able to. Charifus can't do more than Bishul on its own. But a tag team of Charifus and knife pressure, that could do more than Bishul on its own. That's how Prima Gadim suggests. Yad Yehuda says, and oh, there's another reason that Davar Charev is better than Bishul. The whole reason Not Bar Not works is that the Tam is weakened on the second transfer, and it's no longer considered Tam. By Davar Charev, we could say that as a result of the Charifus, the Tam is reinvigorated. It's not weakened, it's reawakened, and it remains Tam Rishon. So even without Duchka de Sakina, says the Ad Yehuda, there would be no heter of Not Bar Not B'Davar Charev. So we should forbid every Darva Charev that's Balea Tam Basar, that there's no heter of Nat Bar Nat. So those are the two Mahalchim that you have. Prichadish again is bothered, I don't understand, how could it be that a Darva Charev can account, according to the Rivan, I have no kashas, because all Darva Charev can do is exactly what Bishul can do, keeping it Tam Rishon. But if you say, not like the Rivan, then I don't understand why this can work. So, two Mahalchim in the Achronim, you have the Prima Gadim who says, you're right, Davar Charev cannot do more than Bishul. It's only the combination of Davar Charev with Tuchel Zeskina. And then you have the Ad Yud who says, Davar Charev can accomplish more than Bishul, because it's not more than, it's different than. Meaning, Charifus just has the capacity to take Tam and make it not Shvach, and make it not weak, and makes it strong again. It reinvigorates Tam.
Not Bar Nat is because the Tam is weakened by Bishul, but it's so crazy to assume that the Charifus is diminished much less than the heat is diminished by Bishul when there's a second and same Tam.
What do you mean,
the
much?
The Tam is diminished much less by the secondary, this is how Charifus.
I mean, they have different impacts on the Tam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's similar to what the Adi is saying. So really there are three concepts that you know that we have to look into over here, that we have to learn about over here when we talk about this. Number one is, does Davar Charev have the power to remove the absorbed flavor in an Eino Ben Yomo knife or only in a Ben Yomo knife? Right? Meaning, is this Dafka Din Ben Yomo clearly in, I mean, you don't see anything clearly in our Gemara. We just said Sakin, that knife that's used to cut a radish, but it sounds like it's a Jewish kli. You do find something in Avodah Zarah because it's a non-Jew that's selling you vegetables and stam clay akumareinu b'nei yomam. So that's a discussion we're going to have. Second discussion we're going to have is when the flavor is absorbed by the radish or the onion or whatever, how far into the radish or the onion does the flavor actually travel? Does it go all the way? Does it go kedei klipa? Does it go somewhere in between? And third, how much of the flavor from the knife is nimshach into the radish or the onion? I mean, does it just draw the whole, whatever's in the knife comes right into the radish? Meaning, or maybe only, no, only the part of the knife that touched the radish. So that part, you know, whatever tam is stuck in that part of the knife will come into the radish. So those are the three topics. So let's take them one by one. So topic number one. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah told us that a guy cuts a chiltis with his chafin knife. The chiltis becomes aser, even if the knife is not a bas yoma, because the charifus of the chiltis will be mashbiach the tam that it's balea. Good. So Tosfos over there in Avodah Zarah, Lamatas, and Dibra Maschal Agav, raises the question whether the same can be said for a radish, or is that just by a chiltis which is super charif? Meaning the metzius is that a chiltis is much more charif than a radish. So whatever halacha you're going to have by the chiltis, you have to always question, is the same thing going to apply to a radish? So the Gemara is explicit that even a knife that's not bas yoma, the charifus is going to make an impact on by the chiltis. But is the same true? Is the same going to be true by the radish? That's Taisus Kasha. So Beis Yosef quotes Machlokas Rishonim as you would expect. Rabbeinu Yechiel and the Rambam hold that only a ben yomo fleshig knife will make the radish fleshig, and Eino Ben Yomo fleshig knife will not have an impact on the radish. However, right, the Sefer Atruma is quoted by the Beis Yosef, it disagrees that even an Eino Ben Yomo fleshig knife, which cut a radish, will make the radish fleshig. because the charifus of the radish combined with the ducha, the sakina, reawakens the flavor of the knife, and that tam l'shvach is passed on to the radish. So how do we paskin Shulchan Aruch? So Shulchan Aruch quotes 2 days at first. Right, you look in Sif Aleph. Snow and a silk, a shachacha, besakin, shell, basar, ben yamo! O shayna makuna chasula achlamachala, achayi told me makum achatach, then till smakum shukovi atzma, we'll get to that later. O yisay, it's a men of lo yetam basar, shazmat, but we'll get to that later. Vie shomrim! Duhuadin la eno ben yamo. So Stam, he quotes that it's only by ben yamo. Vie shomrim, that by eno ben yamo also. But then you go a little weiter, and you look in Siv Gimel. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Tavlin shenidochu b'maducha shel basar. We're talking about a davar charif that you grind up in a maducha shel basar ben yomo asulach l'mechalav. And there's no yeshom over there. He says only if it's ben yomo. Comes along the Ramah, v'yeshom rafilu eino ben yomo. So the Ramah remains consistent in Sif Aleph and Sif Gimel that it doesn't matter ben yomo, eino ben yomo, davar charif has the ability to make everything nosin tam l'shvach. But the Mechaber is not Soser himself entirely, but in Sif Aleph quotes 2 Deos, and then in Sif Gimel assumes only like the Dea that it's got to be Ben Yomo, but that if it's Eino Ben Yomo, it's not that way. So the Taz in Sif Katan Yud asks that Tamua, why is this Tamua? It's not so Tamua over here. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong over here. Quoted 2 Deos and then told you which one he paskins like. And guess what? It's exactly the one you would have thought he paskins like. Because in Sif Aleph, he had a stam and then a yesh omrim. So the stam was that it's only ben yomo. And the yesh omrim included eino ben yomo. You're not going to pass on like the yesh omrim. Of course, you're passing like the stam. So in Sif Gimel, he passes that way, that it's only if it's ben yomo. Problem is, says the Taz, simon kuf gimel sif av, pasuk ha-shulchan aruch kufei, afilu eino ben yomo. In simon kuf gimel, in uchus tarovis, shulchan aruch paskins that even if it's eino ben yomo, it has the ability to be mashpiach the tam, that it's not going to be considered a tam of gam. I mean, the case over there is you put spices in an eino ben yomo trefa pot, so the contents in the pot become usur because the spice reawakens the eino ben yomo trefa flavors that are absorbed in the pot. So why is he going to be machmir in simon kuf gimel and mekel in simon sadivav? So the couple of approaches. Prima Gadin in Mishpso Zav Siv Katan Yud explains that only here the Shulchan Aruch is Mekel, because there are 2 reasons to be Mekel. Firstly, the flavor is not Bernat, a fleshing knife cut a radish. And in addition to that, the fact that the knife was Eino Ben Yomo, but in Simon Kuf Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch is dealing with a non-kosher pot which doesn't have the kula of not Bernat. Right, non-kosher, no matter how many transferences of tam. So there's only one kula. Wait, does that work? No, in Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Gimel, he said, Afilu Eino Ben Yomo Zasir, no? Afilu Eino Ben Yomo Zasir. So what am I saying wrong over here? No, let me pull up the Prima Gadin. What does he say? That there's Tartu Litivusa. Not Bernat, an Eino Ben Yomo. So by Tartu Litivusa, you're not going to be Machmir by an Eino Ben Yomo. So in Sif Aleph, he quotes both Deos. In Sif Gimel, only the first day of Bistan that we paskin that way. But in Sif, Simon Kuf Gimel Sif Vav, where it's Pilpul in Begadera Shel Isser. There's only Chadol Tivusa, that's Eino Ben Yomo. Wait, what did he say? Let's take a look. Simon Kuf Gimel Sif Vav. What am I missing over here? Yesh Misha Omer. Sheim Samu Pilpulin Bekadera Shel Isra She'eino Bas Yoma Hakal Aser. Yeah. Meaning over there he was more machmir, right? That by an eino ben yomo he's going to be machmir. Over here he is more mekel. How's he more mekel over here? Because over here tavlin shenidochu b'maducha shel basar. What?
Over here he re-quotes
That only Ben Yom, right. That Eino Ben Yom is going to be Motor, right. So over here he's more Mekel. Ah, okay. So why is he more Mekel over here? Right, so I was just getting confused. So over here he's more Mekel because, so says the Prima Gadim, that the reason he's more Mekel over here is that over here you have two Tzadim Lahakel. Because you have the fact that it's Eino Ben Yomo, plus the fact it's a not bar not flavor. So you have not bar not, which by Basar B'Chalav matters, but in Hilchus Tarovis you're not talking about Basar B'Chalav, so you don't have not bar not. You don't have the fact that it's a secondary flavor because there's no such thing when it comes to Isser. Not bar not to Isser is problematic. So in Simon Kuf Gimel, he's going to be more machmir because, yes, I agree that Eino Ben Yomo is a consideration, but it's only going to work in conjunction with the Kula of Nat Barnat. If you don't have it in conjunction with the Kula of Nat Barnat, it's not going to work. Sorry, I got confused there for a second. Yeah?
But if the Dover Harp has the ability to counteract both of those, no?
So that's the question. Does it or doesn't it? Meaning that's exactly the Shaila we're trying to figure out. So does Davar Charev have the abilities? So the answer is somewhat, right? So that's what the Prima Gadim is saying. So the Mechaber holds that you're gonna that if you have Tarti L'Tivusa, you have two Tzadim to make of the fact that it's an Apar Nat plus the fact that it's Eino Ben Yomo. So that's enough to outweigh the fact that it's a Davar Charev. But for any one of those things alone, the Davar Charev is gonna win. The Davar Charev is going to counteract any one of those considerations alone. So says the Prima Gadim. However, the Kav HaChaim argues, says the Kav HaChaim, V'agamdil kaman siv gimel stasam kisvar rishona, v'lo zachar divrei yesho omrim shebekan, v'chein le kaman siv kov gimel sivav hevi svaras yesho omrim, v'lo hevi svar rishona, meaning, says the Kav HaChaim, what did the Mechaber do over here? In Sif Aleph, he quotes two deos. In Sif Gimel, he quotes the Svar Rishon of the first day. And in Simon Kuf Gimel, he only quotes the second day. So he quotes one and two, just one and just two. What's he doing over here? Which way are you going to go? Is it both? Is it one? Is it the other? V'chein l'kaman, I'll give you a fourth place. Simon Kuf Yadal Sivches, Kabe Zesim Shakasav, U'Bavaj Lo Yu Chatuchos. Shachashash L'Svarah Sefer HaTruma. V'lo Hizkir Svar Rishon Shabakan. He's choshev there also for the sheet of the Sefer HaTruma, right? Remember, the Sefer HaTruma is the one that says that even an Eino Ben Yomo fleishig knife that cuts a radish is going to make the radish fleishig. That even Eino Ben Yomo is going to cause problems. So what on earth is the Mechaber doing over here? So says the Kaf HaChaim. So Yesh Lomar Shasamach Al Masha Kasav Kan Shachoshesh L'Shtei Ashvaros V'Lohut Zochluch Pal Advarim. Whoa, he says Mechaber assumes you're reading the whole book. You're not just going to read one halacha. You have to look up halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You're not going to just turn to one halacha. You'll read the whole book. So he told you that there are two svaras, and therefore you got to be choshish for both of them. Pasha, you got to be machmir for both of them. Aye, but in Sif Gimel, he seems to be mekel. He says, no, only Ben Yomo's going to be a problem. Ain't a Ben Yomo's not a problem. Yeah, that's why you got to read Sif Aleph, because he quotes both things. It's a little surprising. And therefore it turns out that according to the Kav HaChaim, even Svardim should be Machmir, unless there's like a Hefsim Ruva or something. This happens with Kav HaChaim L'Shitaso, that if the Shulchan Aruch brings a second more Machmir opinion, a Stam and Yesh Omrim, the Kav HaChaim writes, unlike what we normally assume, that you always pass like the Stam, that no, really Mekar Adini pass like the Yesh Omrim, unless it's a Shasat Chak. That Yesh Omrim is telling you that Yesh Omrim, and you better be Choshesh for it. So in Shulchan Aruch and Sefer Aleph quotes Yesh Omrim that even an Eino Ben Yomo knife will make the vegetable fleishig, and that will answer the stira asked by the Taz from Sim Kuf Gimel, because both here and Kuf Gimel Shulchan Aruch paskins that even absorbed flavor in Eino Ben Yomo can reawaken the sharp time of the vegetable. So he doesn't make any chiluk about the not bar not element. What do you do with Sif Gimel, where the Shulchan Aruch says only a Ben Yom utensil really? So that's what he says. Yeah, if you're reading Sif Gimel, you're reading Sif Aleph. Lemaisa, most Svardim, I think, do not assume that way. I think they are Mekel, like the Sheet of the Shulchan Aruch, that if it's Eino Ben Yomo, it helps for Davar Charev, the way the Prima Gadim said. An Eino Ben Yomo fleishig knife, as long as you also have not bar not, if you cut a sharp vegetable with it, it will not make the vegetable fleshig. But an Einu Binyom, a non-kosher knife, will make it non-kosher, because then you don't have naparnat. You don't have the heter naparnat. Yalkut Yosef in Chelik Beis in the Mavo writes that it's best for Sfarim to be machmir, but even a hefsid muat you could be making. You don't even need much of a hefsid. Rabbi Wiederblank Shlita said he had a shaila once. What was the case? He said a family had used their frying pan to saute onions for a soup that they were making. And the frying pan had previously fried schnitzel with breadcrumbs that may have been chadash. It wasn't about fleshiks. And the Sfardi family was makvid for chadash. So the frying pan was used for chadash, and now it was sauteed onions, and they put those onions in the soup. And the soup was for a Sephardi family that just had a baby. You know, they're cooking for the family that just had a baby. So it was an Ashkenazi person doing the cooking. And they sauteed onions in an Einu Ben Yomo pan that had tam of chadash in the Einu Ben Yomo pan. Onions are a davar charif. And then they put that davar charif into the soup. So now, what are you saying? What do you say in such a case? According to the Prima Gadim, what do you say? It's an Isser. Right? Chadash is an Isser. So you don't have a heter of naparnat. All you have is Einu Ben Yomo and Sankaruna. You need a double heter. Right? That the Mechaber is going to say Asr in that case. But, let's say like Rav Vadia for a second. Meaning what the Kav Chaim says, Behef Sim Ruba, Rav Vadi is willing to say Behef Sim Muad. He doesn't make this chilik between whether you have Naparnat or you don't have Naparnat. The whole Indian is, how do you pass in there 2 days? How do you pass in? So, really, it could be Mekel on Neina Ben Yomo, but, if there's no Hefsid, there's no real Hefsid. So maybe if the woman already cooked and whatever, and this Nebuch person who had the baby is not able to cook, and it's already dinner time, and she needs to. And they're relying on you for the food. I remember whenever we had a baby, there was always like that one person that forgot. You know, the Jewish people are amazing, right? You always have like people making meals for whatever, a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is. Like there's like one time, like you're looking at your watch, and it's like, someone shows up at like 10 o'clock at night with pizza. they're relying on this food. So according to Rav Vadia, may ikar adin the mechaber is mekil, right? That if it's Einu Ben Yomo, davar charav is not going to make a difference. So depending how you understand the mechaber.
When we speak about the difference between Ben Yomo and Ben Yomo in terms of the Dover Harf, is that specifically with regards to Basar Bakalov or even Shari Suv?
I think even Shari Suv.
Because isn't it done like a little bit circular? Because if the Dover Harf makes it Ben Yomo, then there's no Naparnat there anymore. Because then you have Tavis here.
No, I mean Naparnat assumes Ben Yomo. Right, meaning the whole sugi of naparnat is by ben yomo flavors. When it's Einu Ben Yomo flavors, are automatically kosher anyway. This is tam of gan.
Right, I'm saying like the prima
Well, that's what we're saying. Meaning, we're not sure exactly what Davar Charev does. So we're willing to be makil that Davar Charev doesn't make a Ben Yomo if I also have a Svar of Naparnat. But I'm not willing to be makil that Davar Charev doesn't make a Ben Yomo if I don't have anything else to back it up. I mean, that's exactly the Shaila we're working on. All right, so we got through one of the three issues. Bez Hashem on Sunday, we'll try to go through issues numbers 2 and 3 again. When the flavor is absorbed by the radish, how far into the radish or the onion does it go? And third, how much of the flavor from the knife is actually pulled into the radish? Meaning, is it the whole knife worth of flavor or only some of the knife? Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll get to that on Sunday. Have a great day, everybody. Have a great Shabbat.